Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit us online at wvr.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This is a gift, not a curse. Jesus makes it very clear in the New Testament that this is not something that was supposed to make people's lives miserable. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field one day, and the disciples were pulling some heads of grain just with their hands, just pulling like that and rubbing the grain in their hands and letting the chaff blow away and eating the kernels of wheat. And the strict celebrants of the law, thinking that they were coming to God's defense, criticized what Jesus' disciples were doing. And Jesus didn't say, "Oh, guys, stop it. You shouldn't be doing that. They're right. It's the Sabbath. Don't do that." Jesus says, "You don't get it at all. You don't understand what the Sabbath's about. And you don't understand what the law of God is about. But I want you to understand something. If we're going to put Sabbath into effect, when I was a kid, on Sundays, which was the day we celebrated as Sabbath, most things that we thought were fun were not allowed. Okay? Couldn't play ball, couldn't go swimming, couldn't watch TV. How that would be work, I don't know. But the idea was, this is really hard. I'm having to think about this Disney thing. Okay? But the idea is that one day out of seven is totally set apart, and you are forbidden work on that day. If I say to one of our employees here at the ranch, look, you've been working really hard. If you would like to take the rest of the week off, you go right ahead. Well, now all of a sudden they've got a decision to make. It's a challenge because, he said I could have the time off, and I think he means it. I can have the time off, but if I take the time off, there's stuff that's not going to get done, and the reason I'm working so hard is because there's so much to do, and I feel like I need to get this done, and boy, if I take the day off, then is he going to wonder when some stuff isn't done, why didn't he realize he needed to do this stuff? That's really hard. But if I say to that same employee, look, I want you to take the rest of the week off. Don't show up here and don't go home and do yard work. Take the time to rest. You need the rest. Well, then I've just given a gift. Because it's not like the person has the option of saying, well, no, I'm sorry, but there's stuff that really needs to be done. There will always be stuff that needs to be done. But God commands his people to honor him by remembering that when he created everything, he did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And every time we take that day off, we are worshiping Him and saying, we know that God is the creator of all things and that He is the one who sustains all things and that He is the one who gives us all things and that He has given us this day to rest. Work is honorable. It is a good thing. Work is not part of the curse. But rest is also honorable. It is a good thing. It is not a sign of laziness if you do it one day out of seven. So God commands His people to rest on the seventh day. The Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Then the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. The first commandment with a promise. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? Well, it means you do whatever they tell you. No. No, does not mean that. What if your parents tell you to sell drugs? We had a kid years ago whose mom pulled him out of the ranch, took him back to live with her, so that he could be a drug runner in her business. She was dealing drugs, and she felt that it would be better, this was her rationale, it would be better for him to be the one distributing the drugs, because if he got caught, he would go to juvie, and he could have his record cleared when he turned 18. But if she got caught, she'd be in prison a long time. So this is her thinking. If mom says, I want you to sell drugs for me, I want you to be a courier of drugs for me, do you say, yes, ma'am, the Bible says honor your father and mother. You're not honoring your mother when you sell drugs for her. That doesn't bring her honor. Well, it's what she told me to do. Well, I'm sorry. Believe me, I'm sorry that your mother would tell you to do something like that. But that is not honorable. What if my mom wants me to lie for her? It doesn't honor her to be a liar. The phone's ringing and mom says, if it's so-and-so, tell him I'm not here. Don't answer the phone. If you want people to think you're not there, mom, you deal with it. But I'm not going to lie for you. That wouldn't honor your mother. It wouldn't honor your father. Years ago, and I tell this with her permission, years ago we had a student here whose father, on her sixth birthday, after mom went to work, the father said, I have something special to give you today. And he took her in the closet and raped her. How do you honor your father and mother if you're coming from that kind of hellish situation? How do you honor them? You live a life that pleases God, and it will bring honor to your parents. People will look at you when you are a young man or a young lady and they will say, wow, you must have had a great mom and dad. You have just honored your parents. Honor your parents by living a life that is pleasing to God. Got it? Honor your parents by living a life that is pleasing to God. And you will bring honor on your parents, whether they deserve it or not. You're to honor your father and mother so that you may live a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The sixth commandment says, you shall not murder. Some translations say you shall not kill. Those translations have a hard time when we get into the next chapter and God tells about all the people that are supposed to be killed. God says, if the person does this, they're to be killed. Person does this, they're to be killed. Person does this, they're to be killed. What's the difference? This is do not murder. There's a difference between killing and murder. And God will go on to clarify and enumerate some of those differences. But this is not a prohibition against capital punishment. It is a prohibition against murdering people. When the government, in obedience to God's law, carries out a death sentence on someone or engages in legitimate warfare, that is not murder. When I get mad at somebody and decide to take vengeance myself and kill that person, that's murder. When I want something that somebody has, because I'm guilty of violating commandment number 10, coveting, and I decide the only way I'm going to get that from them is if I take it. And in the process of taking it, I feel like I've got to take them out. That's murder, as well as theft, born of covetousness. Breaking these commandments are often tied together. So murder is forbidden. But please understand, it's you're not to murder, not you're not to kill. Those are not the same. You shall not commit adultery. Let's review. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Got it? So adultery is when a married person is having sexual relations with somebody else's spouse or with someone that they're not married to and thereby cheating on the person they are married to. So does that mean that if you're not married, you can have sex with anybody else who's not married? No, that's called fornication. It's a larger category. What God specifically addresses here is the issue of adultery. Because it is an even more significant kind of sin in that it not only is sexually immoral, but it is specifically violating a covenant between a man and a woman, which is supposed to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. These folks didn't understand that, but we should. We should. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. I got a letter years ago from a gal who'd been a mentor here at the ranch. And she said, Pastor Woods, since I left the ranch, I have been convicted by God that I often wasted time and resources there at the ranch. And in a very real sense, I was stealing when I got my pay. Because she said, I looked for ways to avoid work. I found ways to get around doing what needed to be done. God has convicted me of my laziness and my selfishness and my dishonesty, and I realize that I was stealing, and God has put an amount on my heart, and I'm working to pay it back. Here's my first check. That's somebody who understood what the plumb line was. You see, she looked at God's law, and she realized, I'm not living up to that. And so she asked God what she should do to make things right, and God gave her an impression as to what she should do, and so she was taking steps to make it right. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. That is not the only way that you can lie, but it is a particularly heinous way to lie. Don't give false testimony against your neighbor. That's what God says. That means using a lie against someone else to try and gain an advantage for yourself. Don't do that. God hates that. The penalty, by the way, is death. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Did you hear that? You're not to covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does covet mean? It does not mean, wow, that's nice. A friend of mine just got a Tesla. You know what a Tesla is? That's a computer you can sit in. And on the outside, it looks like a car, and it has tires and all. And so it's amazing. Perfectly fine to think it's amazing. Perfectly fine to think it's beautiful. Perfectly fine if you were offered to sit in it and say it's comfortable. Okay? It's perfectly fine. But if you start saying, oh, man, oh, I've got to have one of those. I wish I had one of those. I wonder how much those things cost. Too much. You start coveting when you start thinking, I got to have that. I want that. Not, wow, nice house, neighbor. Wow, you really married well. How did you get someone who looks that nice to marry you? Okay? I've thought that a few times speaking to people. Wow, what a great motorcycle. Wow, what a beautiful yard. Every year you win the landscape award for the neighborhood. It's amazing. If you covet what belongs to someone else, you're not just behaving stupidly, you're sinning against God. It is not just wrong, it's evil. Do not covet. We have built a society in which much of our economy is predicated upon encouraging people to covet. To look at what other people have and think they've got to have it too. That is a false economy, and it will crash over and over and over. Well, when God had given these laws, the people were terrified. They trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we'll die. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The point of this is not just so that we will realize we're messed up, but it's also to keep us from doing this stuff. Some people, understanding that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that our only hope is Jesus, and it's His righteousness that makes us acceptable to God, therefore kind of X through all this and say, "Oh, so let's sin more that grace may abound." I mean, you know, what does it matter? God doesn't care. God sent His Son to pay for our sins, so let's sin. Let me tell you where that voice is coming from. It's coming from the pit of hell. Moses said to the people, "God has done this to keep you from sinning. Don't do it." I belong to the Cut It Out School of Psychology. "Stop it," as Bob Newhart would say. Well, I was just thinking, stop it. Cut it out. Quit that. Well, I just really find it hard sometimes. Stop. Well, I'm so drawn. Stop it. If you decide ahead of time that there's no way you can quit, you're not going to quit. But if you realize this is wrong, I need to change. God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins and change me. You know what? You may not become sinless, but you will sin less. You'll sin less and less and less. I just can't help it. I come from a long family of liars, and we just lie. I mean, that's what we do. Quit it! Stop! Don't do that anymore. Well, but sometimes a lie is a very present help in times of trouble. No! You are confusing two verses. Okay? God is a very present help in time of trouble. Lies produce death. So, what are we to do? Well, first of all, we're to take God's law seriously. Secondly, we're to realize we've all fallen short. We've all messed up. Thirdly, we need to believe the good news that God sent His Son to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, says the Apostle Paul, and I'm somewhere toward the front of the line right behind him. Okay? And so finally, we need to rejoice in the grace of God and seek to do those things that please Him and leave behind the works of the flesh, which only result in death. And as we do that, by God's grace, we will become increasingly changed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He appears, we're going to be like Him. For we shall see Him just as He is. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for sending Jesus to save us. Thank You that You didn't tell us if we straightened up and fixed ourselves, You'd accept us. Instead, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, You sent Jesus to save us. We thank You for that. But Father, I pray that we would not neglect the truth of Your law, and that we would understand from this more clearly the kind of life that the Holy Spirit will produce in us as we grow in our walk with You. And I pray that we'd start right where You did, by having no other gods, worshiping You alone. And we'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.